No, we're at the beginning of this 2-year program, but of course people are free to start and just do the first 6-week session and continue after that as they wish. But when I think ahead to the idea of 2 years, that's exciting and a little bit challenging. I'll have a little more to say about that in a bit. You know, we have a lot of experience doing the online programs by now, and I'm sure this will work well. It's a little bit different, and again, I'll say something more about that. Ah, I see Robert on video. Let me say a little bit about the way that this online experience works, and those of you who are going to be listening to the recording, this doesn't really apply to you, but maybe in the future you'll be online, so then it will. So, as you can see, I'm available on video. Any of you is available to join on video as well. Right now I see that Robert is on video and I can see him fine. The way the program works is that when someone speaks, the video automatically shifts to that person. So, you don't have to worry so much about just sitting there, scratching your chin or something. Although there's always somebody online, so in this case I get to see Robert, who is not scratching his chin. The other thing about the program is if you are online or if you are calling in by phone, you're free to speak up and ask a question at any time, and I really encourage you to do that. The program works best when it's more interactive, certainly. It's been interesting with the online program that in general, most people, when they have questions to ask, and in particular when we share some experience on an exercise, most people prefer to use the chat box, which if you're online, of course that's most people who are online. If you're online, the chat box is down in the lower right-hand corner, and that's fine. And when people type something in the chat box, I usually repeat it out loud for the benefit of people who aren't online. But that's a fine way to interact also. It's nice to have voices sometimes because it makes me feel like I'm not alone. Of course, usually there's some feedback or something to remind me that I'm not alone. And Kathleen, as often as she can, is online to help us deal with technical issues that come up, things like feedback or people not being able to get on, and those kinds of things. So that really is a very, very helpful part of what we do. But that's the way the online part of this works. So I'm going to spend a few minutes now going through kind of an overview of how we're going to be proceeding and what the different resources are that are available. And then we'll get started. I'm going to be speaking in a general way, you could say, about what we're doing over these first few weeks, what the aim is, what we're trying to put in place. And then I think we'll do a short practice. That's what we usually do on these calls, is we take a couple of minutes to investigate something experientially. And then people have a chance to comment on that. And one of the reasons that I usually do that is it gives people a chance to get involved. And I really do want to encourage you to, you know, be asking questions, interacting with each other. But typically we get the most interaction after an exercise. And so I've for quite some time now, I've been introducing that in each of these online sessions. So we'll do an exercise. And then if we have time, it's always an issue. I'm always running out of time. But especially today when there's so much kind of introductory material to go through, I'm not sure how much time we'll have to actually go further with the readings. But typically what's going to happen is we will in the session, there'll be a little orientation and review, and we'll focus on one reading in particular. Of the, there'll usually be two or three assigned, the reading that we're going to focus on, when I post the readings, and they are going to be posted for the first, for this first six-week session, if it's not up already, it will be up very soon on the site. And you will see that one of the readings has a star next to it, an asterisk. And what that means is that's the one we're going to focus on in the online discussion. So I don't think we did that for today, but I want to talk a little bit, if we get that far, if we have the chance, I want to talk about the reading from the introductory part of Love of Knowledge. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about the way the class is going to work. Of course, there is something online that describes that, but I want to make sure that everybody's clear about that. So we're going to be working with Wendell Rains. So I encourage you all, you really should have access to a copy of When It Rains. And in the introduction that's online already, it points out that if you don't have a copy of When It Rains, you can buy one from Dharma Publishing. And right now you can when you do that, you can, if you buy it for just a little bit more money, you can get a copy of the CD that comes with it. It's a special deal right now. And the CD is important because it contains the text of all six of the books that we'll be working with, all six of the books in the TSK series. And it's very important to have access to those. Over the course of the whole program, the 2 years, we're going to be doing readings from all of those books. So if you don't have the books in particular, it's an easy and relatively cheap way to have access to the material, to get the CD. The other really nice thing about the CD, and the CD just has a bunch of PDF files, Adobe Acrobat files, that contain the text of the books. One of the really nice things about having that CD is that you can do searches. You can do searches on a word. For instance, in a few minutes, I'm going to be talking about the word vision, because we'll be talking about the TSK vision. Well, you might find it interesting to see how the word vision is used. And, of course, the books have indexes, so that's one way of doing it. But it actually is easier and a lot faster to use the CD. And sometimes you're looking for a word that you won't find in the index. There's a question here from Michael in the chat box. He says he has the book, but not the CD. Is there a deal on the CD? And yes, there is a deal on the CD. It was actually intended for people to buy the book at the same time. But I will talk with Dharma Publishing and see if we can get you that deal. I think it costs $25 right now. So let me just make a note to myself to do that. Okay. So the book and the CD, I hope you've all taken a look at the website and the page on the website that's for the online course. And I know Kathleen was just orienting people to it for people who are not familiar with it. And so hopefully you'll be able to get a clear sense of that. And if not, you can ask some questions during the course of the week. One of the things that I've done in the past is I've written an orientation to the next week's readings. And as I prepared for this program, I wasn't so sure that I needed to do that, because When It Rains is itself an orientation to each week's readings. So I'm going to play that by ear. I'm not quite sure whether I will write orientations or not. You'll see. I'll see and you'll see. Okay. There are a few other things that we have already discussed, but I want to mention. One is that I do encourage people to keep a journal. And for people who are in the teacher training program, that's really a requirement because we're going to be asking you to share things from your journal. And for everybody, it's a good idea. And When It Rains has a very lengthy discussion. I was actually surprised when I went back to see how much detail it goes into about ways that you could structure the journal. But it also says, and I think this is the most important part, that you can do it any way that works for you. There were some suggestions in When It Rains. But it's especially valuable to record insights or questions or experiences that come up as you do the practice, as you do the reading, which is itself a kind of practice, or as you just explore what we're doing in your everyday life. You have the chance to do that, and I think a journal is really helpful for that. I'm going to mention writing assignments at the end of this session today. I'm going to be mentioning giving an assignment. Those are totally optional, except for people who are in the teacher training. They should do the assignments. And the assignments are short. They're a paragraph or a page, not more than that. There are some other special requirements for teacher trainees, you'll hear more about that offline. I see that we've got Remco on. That's good. So Kathleen dealt with that. Thank you, Kathleen. I have another idea here. I guess I'm not going to mention it because we may not do it, so forget I even mentioned it. In When It Rains, it suggests that it would be a good idea to do 20 minutes of practice a day, or more, of course, if you want. That's certainly not a requirement. It's really up to you what you want to do. It would be useful. And every session, there's going to be an exercise which you could be using for that 20-minute practice. I'll mention that at the end today. We're also going to be practicing in a way that where you're just doing the practice during the day as you go about your activities. And that's one of the reasons for keeping a journal. If you start to really take notes on the practice that you're doing during the day, it will help you, I think, focus and kind of remember to be asking these kinds of questions. TSK is all about questions. It's all about inquiry. It's all about looking at your experience in new ways. And the more you can do that during the day, the better. Kathleen, if you're back here, there is quite a bit of background noise, so maybe you could see about figuring out where that's coming from. Okay, let's see. Here's another question from Michael. Thank you for asking questions that I'm sure are on other people's minds. Will there be an area to post the writing assignment separate from the general posting area? Yes, there will. We haven't set it up yet, but there will be. Okay, let's see. So those are the basic questions or the basic comments I have about how the program's going to work. Are there any questions, anything people have been wondering about? All very clear? Okay. Right. I don't actually know how many people are signed up in total. Kathleen could give you that information. And I don't have the exact number of teacher trainers, but I think it's in the order of eight trainees. It's in the order of 8 to 10, something like that. That's maybe 8 is probably more accurate. So that's roughly it. By the way, if you were online and watching, you will see that that when Hayward asked that question, the video automatically switched to him. And that's the way it works, and it's actually very nice. I like the way this program works in that respect. Okay. So let's start looking at the content of the program. What we're going to be doing during this first session is introducing the TSK vision. You could look at When It Rains on page 5 describes the plan. Basically, pages 3 to 10 of When It Rains are you know, you could look those over. Those are the reading more or less for this first week. It's an orientation to how the study program in When It Rains works, and it also serves as an orientation, and is mostly accurate for how we're going to be proceeding. And on page 5, according to my, or actually, sorry, let's see. I don't see it right now, but oh, here it is. It's about 12 lines down. It talks about units 1 to 3 being an introduction, and what that means in part is that the readings we're going to be doing during this first session are mostly, not all of them, but mostly they're taken from the front matter of each of the books, or several of the books, the ones with the Roman numerals. Because in each of the books, I think Rinpoche really tries to introduce the idea of what the TSK vision is about and is for. And that means that we're not going to be talking so much about time and space and knowledge. Although, of course, that will also come up. But the idea here is what it says on page 5 of When It Rains. The aim is to introduce basic themes and orientations characteristic of the TSK vision without going into the specifics of the vision itself. So we will gradually start to work our way more into the direction of exploring time and space and knowledge. I suppose you could say if our aim is to activate the TSK vision, which is the overall title of this program, and if we want to activate time and space and knowledge, we first need to understand what it means to activate something, or what it means to explore something. And TSK has a very specific way of exploration. And that's what we're really going to be exploring during these 6 weeks, what we're going to be looking at during these 6 weeks. So themes, basic themes and orientations, we want to understand what it means, you might say, to do TSK. That's the issue that concerns us. In thinking about this, there's an exercise that we're going to be I'm going to partly introduce in just a few minutes, that's found in the When It Rains book. You don't find it anywhere else. That's called expanding and condensing. And even though you don't find it in the other books, it's an exercise that has been used in TSK from the very earliest days. For reasons I don't particularly know anything about, it was never formally described as an exercise in any of the books. But the basic idea of it is very simple. The basic idea is that you take some aspect of experience and you expand it or you condense it. And when I was thinking about this course, it occurred to me that you might think about what we're doing here in those terms. For several years now, the way that we've explored TSK online is to take a particular passage, a particular chapter, and usually it's a part of a chapter in one of the books, and go into it in great detail, really carefully unpack it, as we say sometimes. And you could think of that as a kind of a condensing of TSK. It's like you go into it and you find the depth within it. When I talk about condensing, I like to think about condensed milk. I don't know what you would call that in Portuguese or German or Dutch, But in English, we say, you know, you sort of, it's like the essence of the milk. Condensing is going into the depth, the essence, the heart. That's what we've been doing. What we're doing in this program is more of an expanding. We're expanding into the vision. We're kind of stretching out within it and finding all the different aspects. So in each phone call, there'll be some condensing. And in fact, the two go together. But we're taking a kind of an expansive view of what the TSK vision is about. So it's an opportunity that offers something a little new, I think. Okay, that's the most general thing I have to say. The main point, really, that I want to make sure we get clear on for today is something about the method, the approach that that TSK takes. And the basic answer to that question, what is the TSK approach, is a very simple answer, a one-word answer. TSK proceeds through inquiry. TSK proceeds by asking questions, but that's actually not the best way to say it. Inquiry is better, because the point is not to ask a particular question so that you can get a particular answer. The point is to call everything into question. In other words, all of our experience, which we usually take for granted, which we usually don't think about at all, and just assume that that's the way things are, all of that is open to question. So TSK inquiry is about opening things up at that level. I see there's a little note here from Michael talking about expanding and condensing, which he calls exercise A, because that is what it's called in the book. I think it's on page 20 of When It Rains, if I remember. Yeah, well, 21. So it's called exercise A. He says perhaps exercise A represents the characteristic of knowledge, that knowledge cannot be exhaustively captured by any attempt to corral it into a book or any statement with a beginning and an end. Yeah, I like that. Thank you. So whatever experience is, you can expand it or you can condense it. And we'll talk about that more because that exercise comes up in a week or two. But right now, let's stay focused on the expanding because, in fact, that's what I want us to do in a few minutes. The idea is that whatever you think you know, whatever you think has been established, whatever seems certain, whatever seems definite, whatever seems beyond question, if you expand it, you find what's questionable within it. And that's why expanding, that's the easiest one to see, but expanding and condensing, they're a perfect example of TSK inquiry. Because the inquiry is not conceptual. The inquiry doesn't proceed by saying, let's try to figure something out, or, you know, let's come up with a better definition for what time is, or something like that. That capacity we have to investigate conceptually is useful, and we'll certainly be using it. But it's not what TSK inquiry is about, because if you develop a new concept of something, that has very little to do with what with vision, your vision of reality, your vision of what reality is. And that's really what we're after. We want to activate a new vision of reality, and we're going to do that through inquiry, and it's going to be the kind of inquiry that questions our ordinary vision of reality. So let's talk a little bit about the word vision, because that really is the guiding idea here. The guiding method, you could say, is inquiry, but the guiding orientation is vision and the possibility of a new vision. So vision has to do with seeing, obviously. And you could say that having a new vision of reality means that you see the world differently. And that's okay as far as it goes. But it's not just the question of seeing the world differently. What TSK points out in again and again in different ways as you begin to conduct inquiry, is that seeing the world differently means living in a different world. It's not, that's a good example. Let's say you know somebody and you think you know them reasonably well, and then they do something that really surprises you, that just doesn't seem consistent with your sense of who they are, and you say, oh, now I see that person differently. Well, that's okay. That can be a valuable insight. And that kind of seeing may help you go more deeply into the understanding of what time and space and knowledge are. But the kind of shift that we're talking about, the shift in seeing that counts as a vision, is really deeper than that. It's not a question of any particular thing within the world. So a person or a place, you know, it's like you move to a new city and in the beginning it's just kind of all chaotic and then you learn to see it differently. We're not on that level. We're talking about reality itself. We're talking about a different understanding of what it means for something to be real. And even that way of saying it is not so great, because it's not a question that there's something and it's real in a different way. Reality itself presupposes, our ordinary view of reality presupposes the idea of things and our relationship to things. So here I am and here's this object out here. That's the way reality works. I'm trying to make sense of the world. I'm trying to make sense of my own emotions. I'm trying to make sense of other people. And you know, we have this sort of cast of characters. And we're trying to fit them together in a particular way. And that's all based on a certain understanding of reality. A new vision of reality means that reality itself is different. So it's really an interesting question. And in a sense, you could say it's what TSK inquiry asks about is, well, how could you possibly develop a new sense of reality? And in one way, you say, well, yeah, that's difficult. And that's why we proceed by way of time and space and knowledge. Those are our gateways into our vision of reality. But in another way, you could say it's actually not that surprising or difficult an idea that you could change your vision of reality. We actually have that experience quite a bit. A typical example, I'm just going to give a few examples here. Sometimes when you read a novel or you see a really good movie, and when you finish, and this doesn't happen so often, these are the novels or the works of art. It could be a work of, you know, painting also. When you really have gone into it deeply, at the end of that experience, the whole world has shifted in some way. You know, you leave the movie theater, you walk outside, and things are different in kind of a subtle way. It's always very difficult to describe, at least I find it is. And, you know, maybe it's describing it is not the point. But that subtle shift, you could say, well, reality itself has shifted. And then after a while, it settles back into its old form, pretty much. Maybe there's something left. You say something is different. So a work of art, or let's say falling in love, has that effect. The world, your whole sense of what reality is about, your vision of reality shifts as a result of that. That's what happens when you go on retreat. A lot of you, I'm sure, have had the experience of being on a retreat. You leave the retreat and things really, really don't seem the same. And it's not because, you know, you've deliberately tried to call things into question. It's that something fundamental in you or your experience, you could say, has shifted. So that's one of the reasons I think I'm going to quote something from Love of Knowledge that's not in the readings actually anywhere. Just a very simple point. Rinpoche says, oh, let me find the context. Sorry. It's on page 41 of Roman numeral 41, if you want to look it up. He says that when you conduct TSK inquiry, he says you don't have to confront your ordinary experience. This is about 10 lines from the bottom. He says the exploration, the analysis and exploration here offer the self a new kind of freedom based on the love of knowledge and the joy that comes through inquiry. Well, what is that joy that comes through inquiry? I'm sure people have had that experience. Maybe you can think of times. Part of the, or what I'm pointing to anyway, with respect to the joy of inquiry, is that as you ask questions, the world shifts. Something opens. Your vision of reality shifts. And you find yourself living in a new place. And it can even be, you know, people who like research, not everybody does, I do. It can even be in terms of research. If you're following up a line of research and you get into it deeply and you begin to understand something that you didn't understand before, at least within that domain, you could say that's a shift in your vision of reality. You're suddenly, there's more knowledge available, and that in itself is a shift. So that kind of new vision of reality and the joy that that brings, that's important. Now, I want to say something about inquiry, and then let's see if we can move on and do this little practice. I want to say something about experience. I've already said that the inquiry is not conceptual. And so usually people would say, and you know, it's almost impossible to escape this kind of language, and I'm going to use it too. Usually people would say the inquiry we're doing is not conceptual, it's experiential, right? Those are the distinctions or the that we usually think of. So in a couple of minutes, I'm going to ask you to do this expanding exercise in a very light way. And you know, I'll probably say, you know, it'll at least be implied, look at what your experience is when you expand something. So in that sense, experience is, experiential inquiry is the opposite of conceptual inquiry. But I just want to point out that even the idea of experiencing something, and experience as being the opposite of conceptual inquiry, is already based on a certain understanding of reality. And the understanding of reality that the idea of experiential inquiry or having an experience depends on is that there is somebody who's having that experience and who could have a different kind of experience. So when you say, my experience was like this, but when you do that, you're already presupposing an I, who's doing a certain kind of inquiry. So experience itself is something we'd like to be able to call into question. It's actually one of the most difficult things to call into question because it's so fundamental. But if you think about what experience means for us, it's based on the idea that there is a self who has experiences. That's my vision of reality. That's the ordinary vision in operation. There's someone who has this experience. It's a good experience. It's a bad experience. It's an interesting experience. It's a boring experience. All that range of possibilities is there. It's useful to be able to imagine that you could call even that very fundamental approach, the experiential approach into experience. So I'd like to get to the expanding, but I think this is useful to think about for a moment. Maybe it'll encourage a little discussion. I want you to take 30 seconds. You know, this is going to be, we're going to do these little short practices in the course of these phone calls. So I want you to take 30 seconds and ask yourself right now, while you're experiencing, what's it like to experience? What's the experiencing part of your experience? Okay? Let's just do that now for 30 seconds. Okay, so I'm going to invite people to say something. What did you notice? And if you want to write something in the chat box, that's fine. Or maybe you didn't notice anything, or you have no idea what you were supposed to be looking at, which is sometimes the way things go in TSK, especially at the beginning. But I'm very open. Anybody like to say anything? Okay, so there's, you know, you raise a lot of questions there. So you experience something, and maybe the kind of experience you're looking at is perception, right? You perceive something. But in addition, there seems to be this level of interpretation. Is that accurate, what you're saying? Okay, good. Okay, so several people have short comments. That's great. I'm probably not going to be able to respond to all of them. I can see this is pretty much where we're going to go today because people already respond to that. I think that's great. Robert says, a number of layers, sensation, perception, thought, judgment. So that's consistent with what you were saying, Aaron. And Sudi says, gathering data. So experience is a kind of gathering data. So there's perception, thought, interpretation, more generally data. Okay. David has a lengthier answer here. What is the experience of experience? Sense of emotional underpinning, like deep well water rising? What is the experience? Okay, actually, he doesn't have a longer answer. He just somehow shows up three times. a sense of emotional underpinning. So, okay, perception, interpretation, data, an emotional underpinning. Caroline says it's the registration of sensing. So the focus, again, on perception. And think about all the different ways you could perceive. Now, a question to ask is, are these all examples of experiencing, or are they the ways experience manifests? I'm not calling that into question because I think that anything that anybody has said is wrong or misleading, but there's a whole broad range of questions that are possible here. Jacqueline says, it felt like an osmosis of feeling, reaching into space, feeling space, touching me. Okay, so that's a very particular kind of experience, an osmosis of feeling. But sensing and feeling and perception and interpretation all come up. Interesting.
I had a sensation of thousands of questions bouncing against each other.
Okay, just in case people didn't hear that, Philip, who's sitting here in the room with me, said, a sensation of thousands of questions bouncing against each other.
Okay. Did I cut you off? Or you?
No. Okay. Oh, yeah, a little bit more.
Okay, say more.
And the questions mixed in with a lot of sensations of sounds and vision.
Okay. So questions mixed in with sensations of sound and vision. Okay. And Karen says, lost that, feeling, naming, talking. So I assume you mean a kind of internal speech. Interesting. Yeah. And Alan says, stuff coming in. And he puts the stuff and the in quotes. Okay. Michael says, experience seemed situated in a point of view. 30 seconds, like a countdown for takeoff, but the rocket's still burning underneath. Adds, okay. okay. So you're kind of there ready. Experience is this kind of readiness. There is actually a place in one of the, not a TSK book, a Rinpoche in one of his books talks about, you know, our ordinary, I don't want to say experience, I don't think he uses that word, but we have this readiness to respond in every moment. We're kind of ready to jump. It's a little bit like the rocket's burning, right? And then Michael comments, so David's comment showed up three times for a reason I don't understand. And Michael says, your repetition is so true to life. Thinking the same thoughts today as yesterday. He just condensed it into one statement, right? Okay. And Brigitte says, there's an input put through the senses. This gets related to the self, to the context story of the self. So this is pointing to the relationship between experience and self, which I think is good. I had some interesting thing to say, but everybody had such interesting things to say themselves that I've forgotten what I was going to say. So it's okay. The quality of experience. So people have pointed to a lot of the things that come up when you start to look at what an experience actually is. And I think that's good. I think there's more to be said. And that's, of course, one of the characteristics of TSK, is that you do a little exercise like this. I think it's great, you know, I really appreciate that people had a lot of comments on this. Because it's so important to realize that every question like this, and even the simplest, I mean, this is not a simple question, this is a very deep question. But it's a question that's very easy to ask, and in a sense, it seems easy to get into. Every question like that raises a tremendous range of possibilities, and there are no answers. That's the other point about TSK. Or if there are answers, because if you ask a question, an answer will come, right? There are no right answers, and there are no answers where you say, well, good, now I've answered that question and I can move on to something else. The point is to ask the question. And every time you ask the question, something new may come up. And not necessarily new in the sense that you say, oh, you know, the last time I did this, I really noticed a lot of sensation. And this time it seemed like there was more emotion. Of course, that's important to notice and to acknowledge. But it may be you'd say, well, last time I was looking at the content of experience, but this time I find myself looking more at the structure of experience, or let's say the fact that there is someone who's having the experience. Right? Those are the kinds of possibilities that we want to look at. So let me say one more thing. I'm going to take the practice of expanding, and let's make that an assignment, okay? So I'm going to give you two assignments here, but we'll be doing expanding and condensing again. So the first assignment is just ask yourself that question. That's your kind of walking around practice, you know, during the day. What is it like to experience? So it seems really clear, but when you ask, all sorts of interesting possibilities emerge. That's the first thing. And then the second thing, and you can look at page 20 of When It Rains for a description, or 21, for a description of what expanding and condensing means. Just stay with expanding. Don't worry yet about condensing. So it will talk about, and on the face of it, you know, it's not hard to see. The idea is you take some aspect of your experience and you expand it in some way. And whatever that might mean to you, expanding it. I think, actually, I was going to say one more thing, but I won't because we're out of time anyway. Michael asks Michael asks, am I going to answer the question, when it rains, does space get wet any time in the next 2 years? So I've had a couple of people comment on that fairly recently. I'm going to duck that question. I'm not going to answer that question. But someone wrote me the other day from Holland and said, it's raining here, and it sure seems like space is wet. yeah. Was that... yes, I can. Differences. Okay, good. So that's like a different level, not to play on the word differences. Okay. they may not be. I sent them to our webmaster yesterday, and he may not have posted them yet. But they should be there. They should be there by tomorrow.